New warnings on Chinese debt, and Melinda Gates argues the economic benefits of contraception.
She moves out of the unpaid labor force and into the formal labor market economy.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. For the first time since 2011, the International Monetary Fund has surveyed China's economy. Its new report out today says China needs to prioritize stability over growth targets. The BBC's Lisha Santarelli has more.
The reason why China has been able to achieve such high growth figures is partly because some believe that the local governments within China are given very high growth targets. And this has caused these local governments to extend a lot of credit to many failing or loss-making companies. And this has led to this accumulation of debt. And so the IMF in its report has highlighted two areas of concern that the central government has to crack down on. That is credit growth, as well as the proliferation of new wealth management products. China's debt is estimated to be at more than 250% of gross domestic product. That's a very, very big figure. And some economists are forecasting that's going to go even higher by 2020. The Chinese government is under pressure now to take large steps to address the problem. It has to be said, though, that the Chinese government is aware of it. President Xi Jinping has highlighted maintaining financial stability as a top priority for his government.
The BBC's Lisha Santarelli. Let's do the numbers. A recovery in tech shares overnight is helping push global stocks higher. Germany's DAX is leading in Europe, up 68 points or 0.53%. And as Bitcoin blasts past $15,000, there's news of a cryptocurrency heist. NiceHash, marketed as the largest cryptocurrency marketplace, says a wallet containing more than 4,700 Bitcoin, worth about $70 million, has been hacked. Now, are contraceptives a health issue or an economic one, too? Today in Washington, a new report by the Center for Global Development will argue that access to contraceptives leads to growth and that gender parity could add up to $28 trillion to the global annual economy by 2025. Melinda Gates, whose foundation invests in global health, has been telling the BBC more about the findings.
We know that there's no country on earth that's ever made the demographic transition from a low-income country to a middle-income country without first making investments in contraceptives. And the reason contraceptives are so important for women is it allows them to time and space the births of their children. And as this report finally gives us the data to back up what we've known anecdotally for a long time is a girl can stay in school longer. She'll stay in secondary school longer. She can go on to college if she chooses. She can delay her first marriage and thus her first birth. And when she can do that, she can wait to have that first child and then space them. She moves out of the unpaid labor force and into the formal labor market economy.
But how do you sell the idea to political and religious conservatives who oppose contraception? Well, Melinda Gates cites the example of Niger. The West African country has one of the highest fertility rates in the world.
When their plan came forward, it said what we need to do first is to create a husband's school to teach the husbands why their wives and their children will be healthier if they allow them to use contraceptives. And they said, once we get the husbands on board, then we bring the women in and we educate them. So they're doing it in a culturally respectable way that will work in their setting. And that's where they start, is where the power dynamic is. And then they move on to then educate the women who are dying to take up contraceptives, quite frankly, when you speak with them.
That's Melinda Gates. Now, when you think about London, you think red double-decker buses or black taxis. Well, the capital's cabbies have competition, not least from Uber. But also, new rules soon mean that London cabs will have to be hybrid vehicles. The BBC's Theo Leggett reports.
Taxi!
The black cab is kind of a symbol of London. It's very, very traditional. But this one's rather different. And that's because this is actually an electric cab, or at least it's partly electric. It's a hybrid. It can run for 80 miles on battery power alone, and then it has a little range extender to get the cabbie home in the evening. And here with me to talk about it is another passenger, Chris Gubby, who's the chief executive of the London EV company.
All our major cities in the world have a pollution problem, and it was important for us to bring a solution or partial solution to that.
This isn't a full electric cab. Why did you decide to go for a hybrid?
One of the important things of when it's a working vehicle is you cannot afford range anxiety. So this has 80 miles pure electric. In fact, if the cabbie can get a half an hour charge at lunchtime, he can run the business mileage all on pure electric.
So I've stepped out of the new cab. I said I had a meeting. I've got myself a ride in a traditional diesel-powered London cab, and I'm going to talk to the driver. Morning.
Hi, sir. How are you?
I'm very well. You'll have heard about the launch of the new electric cab. What do you make of it?
Well, sceptical at the moment with the battery. There's 20,000 taxis on the road, and there's not going to be 20,000 charging points. So everyone's going to be trying to find a charging point. Time is money in the taxi industry.
The new cab is certainly clean, but it's also expensive. It costs $70,000. And judging from some of the reactions I've seen today, the manufacturers may have their work cut out, selling their shiny new machine to the city's notoriously truculent community of cabbies.
That's Theo Leggett in London. Finally, a 500-year-old painting of Christ, which fetched the highest auction price ever, is headed to the new Louvre Museum in Abu Dhabi. Salvador Mundi is believed to be a work by Leonardo da Vinci, and you might remember it sold for $450 million in New York last month. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.